For a few reasons, I went back and looked in my high school yearbook, and I a lot of thoughts, a lot of memories of stuff. And also with the job not going so well, it caused you to look ahead and think about what the future years hold and what the options are. But as I thought about that, I'm extremely thankful for God's goodness to me. I have everything I need. I mean, as of today, now tomorrow that may change, but as of today, I have everything I need. God's provided everything in life I've needed to this very moment, not lacking anything that I need. I'm thankful for my family. And most of all, as I age, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. She knows me, and I think she still loves me, even though she knows me. She's been willing to do what we needed to do to get through life. I'm thankful for my kids. As they've grown to adulthood, they're really my friends. In fact, the truth is, they are my best friends on the face of the earth next to my wife. But they are my true friends, best friends. True love, true acceptance. I'm thankful for my granddaughter. I'm thankful for the one on the way also. I'm especially thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my dad, for his love, for his teaching and training, for his consistency of life. Thankful for my mom. Her family was her life. By example, she showed love by her example. She never put herself first. She never took the best, never took the most sacrifice for those she loved. She put her family first. It was her life by choice because she was talented and brilliant. She could have been anything, honestly, could have been anything she wanted to be. I'm thankful for the rest of my family. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. When you get in a tough place, you can count on family. I'm thankful for my extended family. I'm proud of my nieces and nephews, very close to some of them. Thankful for my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. Thankful for the influence they have had on my kids. Full of thanksgiving. God's been good to me. When I sit down and count it up, there's no material thing I need. God's been good to me in everything I need materially. He's been good to me in relationships. He's been good to me. And I'm thankful. Family is a great blessing. And I am thankful for family. Life still goes best in a good family, irregardless of what everybody wants to say differently. It's family still works as the best basic unit of social fabric. Now, I said all that to say this. I understand not everybody's blessed with a good family. I understand that. We don't get to choose our family. I mean, you're born into where you're born, your circumstances you're born into as a child, you don't have no control over. But here's the good news. God's made provision for us. We have been brought into the family of God. And as my mind dwelt on that, that's the parallel I want you to see. A good family, and I said all that about my family because I want you to feel like I do, what a privilege it is to have a good family. What is involved in having a good family, what a privilege that is. And I understand not everybody, because you're born to whom you're born, where you're born, raised where you're raised, right? But God's made a provision. By salvation, we're brought into the family of God. And I want to remind us what a great privilege that is. Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We are members of the household of God. We're part of the family of God. Think about that. That's an awesome blessing. And we talk, you know, in our circles, we've grown up calling each other brother and sister, right? Brother Mark, Brother Webster, Sister Val, Sister Julia. We grow up knowing. Now, within the own family, I don't call them Sister Val, Sister Julia. I'm just saying that for example. In our, we put the prefix of, or the salutation of brother and sister in front of the name. And it was a reminder that that's our relationship with one another, that we're part of a family. Household, it says, you brought into the household of God. Household means family. It means those that are dwelling together. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." Another translation said, therefore, if we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We're a family. God's our Father. The saved are our brothers and sisters. There's a natural love for one another in a family. When things are right, there's a natural love, right? You don't have to teach kids to love mom and dad when the home is what it ought to be. You don't have to teach mom and dad to love the kids when it's what it ought to be. And that's the way it ought to be in the family of God. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We are the family of God, brothers and sisters. The use of these titles reminds us of that relationship. And I know in modern Christianity that's an uncomfortable addition. But I still, it ain't a salvation issue in my mind. But I think it's a good reminder that we are brothers and sisters in the same family. Jesus, when Mary and his mother Mary and his family came looking for him, responded this way, Mark 3:31, There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around on those that sat about him, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus recognized that. He said, whoever does the will of the Father is my brother and my sister. Being part of the family of God is a great blessing. I'm going to remind us, just a two, and I'm going someplace with this, stay with me. I'm going to remind us of two or three of the great privileges of being in the family of God. First of all, there is love in the family of God. Some of us have grown up with enough love in our life, we may not take it as seriously or what a great value it is. But to actually be loved by people is a tremendous blessing in life. There's love in the family of God. In fact, that is the family identity, right? The family identity is love. He said, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's our family trait. It's a reflection of our Father's love. You know, we're to mirror his love. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, unto the death of the cross. He said, hey, don't get high-minded. Don't get putting yourself up here. Don't just consider your own needs, your own wants. We are to consider each other's needs. He said, look not just on your own things, but look also on the things of your brothers and sisters, right? It means having equal concern for your brothers and sisters, having the same love, being in one accord, one mind. This love is also to be growing. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, the Lord make you increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all these things. The happiest place to be in the world is where love is. Amen? Amen. Behold, Psalms 133:1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, the first blessings of the family of God is genuinely being loved and cared for by others. To be loved by, genuinely loved by someone is a great advantage and privilege in life. There's also a sense of belonging in the family of God. There's a sense of being at home with our brothers and sisters. You know, when you're in a family, it's good to go back home and just be with your family, right? I mean, just to be there because there's a sense of belonging. This is where I belong. This is where I fit in. Our identity, our sense of belonging is to be with God and one another. We are the children of God. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. We belong. We belong as part of one another. This is one of the great benefits of this great salvation, is that we have a real identity. We belong. There's a friendship, a fellowship, a companionship. There's an acceptance that love brings. And that brings a security, a satisfaction, and a contentment. There ought to be a sense of safety when we come into our Father's house. Amen? That ought to be part of what we feel is that the whole world rages. Many times we don't fit in. Many times we're at odds with what's going on out there. But you come into the house of God with the family of God, there's a sense of safety because that's where you belong. Amen? There's also strength and help in the family of God. I thought of this often when family gets in trouble. Good family is always there for them. Amen? You can count on, if they're really needed, they're going to show up and be there for you. There's strength and encouragement in the family of God. There's help. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, that means we are to help one another through their difficulties, through their struggles, help them make it home to heaven. James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I read these in their context because most of the time you hear the verse, bear you one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. In the context it is, it's helping our brothers and sisters in their struggles. Amen? In the same way, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man was again in the idea of helping carry ones that may be stumbling alone. That's one of the advantages of the family of God. We're not just in this alone, folks. We have real help because people love us, accept us, and they're going to do that which they can to bring us home to heaven. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you've been called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hey, part of our coming together is to admonish in song, because that has a way of lifting the emotions as well as the mind. But in song and other ways to lift and help. Amen? And I said all that to say this. We need one another. There are blessings of salvation that only are found in the family of God. There are blessings of salvation that are we experience individually, but there's other blessings of the salvation that are only found in the context of the family of God, in that context. And I want to encourage us at maintaining and building this fellowship, this strength that we have Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another provoked to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We're in a different time right now. That's really what my mind went to. We're in a different time. Things may never return to normal as we think of normal. It may not. I don't know. I pray they do. But I don't know if they do or if they don't. Amen? But this I do know, whether it ever returns to what we considered normal 6 months ago, we still need one another. These benefits of being in the family of God are still crucial to us making heaven our home and to experiencing a good life here. Amen? This part of the benefit of salvation. And so instead of simply waiting and hoping, I want to encourage us to be proactive, to make adjustments for the situation we're in so that we can still enjoy the benefits of being part of the family of God. Amen? First advice, and for those of you in the building, this is really easy. For those of you not in the building, you consider. First, if you can safely be here in person, then be here. Don't take advantage of the situation we're in to give yourself liberty to neglect your duties to your brothers and sisters. Amen? Is that fair? If you can be here, you should be here. Now, some, maybe many, cannot safely be here, right? But if the first admonition is, you owe it to one another to provide as a channel these benefits of salvation to one another. Amen? Amen? And if you need help in this Christian life, this is part of the means of grace. God gives us grace, but it comes through means. It comes through His Word. It comes through His Spirit, but it also comes through the family of God, through people. So if you can be here, you should be here. Amen? Amen? I'm not asking why people ain't here, so I assume it's legit if you're not. But don't take advantage of the situation to give liberty to yourself and neglect your duties. If you cannot be here in person, then I would encourage you to join us live for the service right now on WebEx. I know many have neglected doing that, and that's not good. I know you can go listen to it another time, but that's not the same as being part of. And in fact, I'm looking at other ways to keep us more connected. I would love to be able to have the service live with video that people could pick up and stream live through the singing, through all of it, so they can feel more of a part. You need to keep your heart in what's going on, even if you're not here. Amen? And part of that is by feeling part to connect, to be there when the preaching's going on. And if we can, it's not a matter of finances. It's a matter of the right technology to be able to do that. Really, the finances will be there if we have the right technology that we can get enough upload, because there's no cable or anything even out here anyplace to buy. If we can get enough upload, we'd gladly do that. But I think it's important to keep your heart in what's going on, even if you cannot be here. I believe we need each other. And especially, I believe, in this time, we need each other. Some of the biggest battles you ever face in this Christian life are loneliness, insecurity, burnout, and cynicism. Those are big battles that Christians face. It isn't altogether some of the things people think of that knock people out of this Christian race. These are some battles that people struggle with. And the cure for most of those is to be helping each other in this battle. Amen? So if you need help, you need to be where the help is. And if you don't need help, you need to be there giving the help. Amen? Real relationships require time. Unless there's some time invested, you won't have a very good relationship, right? I have people I ran around with. We were every day of our life for several years. We was together. In fact, one boy never owned a car all the way through college. He rode with me through high school. He rode 4 years of college with me. I don't know after I graduated if he got a car or not. I assume he did. But I don't know much about him anymore. Because relationships require time. The benefits of being in the family of God is the benefits of the relationships. And if we don't invest the time, we won't enjoy the benefits of the relationship. And that goes both ways. It requires investment on both sides. It ain't for people to sit out and say, well, they didn't reach out. They didn't. No. You need to be putting effort in on both sides of the relationship. Amen? Both are responsible for it. It also requires thought. Because sometimes we need to give enough thought. One of the advantages of praying up and down these pews every day, and I do that every day. You maybe don't need to do it every day, but I'll do it at least once a week, because it ought to call to your mind your brothers and sisters and what they're facing, what they're going through. Because as you think on them, you might be a thought to motivate you to be a conduit of grace to them and the need that they have. Amen? Stay in touch. We have a lot better ability to stay in touch than we've ever had before. I know some of you are on social media. If you like that, use that. Text, email, call, write. I received a very nice letter a couple of weeks ago from Sister Grace, because neither one of us are big emailers or phone talkers, but it was a great encouragement to me to receive that. You can be an encouragement to one another. And then above all, pray for one another. Amen? We're in this together. And if you have suggestions on technology, I'm open to that. But I want to encourage us. The time of just waiting for this thing to blow over and go back to normal is past. It may blow over and go back to normal. Great. But instead of sitting and waiting for it, I believe we ought to be a little bit more proactive in making sure that we continue to be the family of God, continue to be conduits of grace to bring the benefits of being part of the family of God, and to put in for what we need to receive from the family of God. Amen? I want to encourage you to do just that. Amen? Let's be proactive. And I will repeat these admonitions again, because we ain't got very many on the phone tonight and very many in the building, which means there's a lot of people that have made a choice that they could have been here or could have been on the line and made a choice not to be. And that's what I'm disappointed in, because we need one another, folks. I pray for certain outcomes in our political world and our other things, but I also know the reality that may not be what's most conducive to seeing people awakened. I don't know. I don't know. I know what I wish for, but God knows what's best. But let's be proactive in saying, hey, times aren't ideal. They ain't what I wish it was, but what are we going to do about it? How are we going to work in this time to continue to be the family of God, the body of Christ, continue to do those things that are really our responsibility to do. Amen?
Amen.
My little children, let's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Amen? May God bless you. I want just a little admonition tonight. That's from my heart to us. We need one another. We really do. And I know there can be a temptation to say, well, this is temporary, let's wait it out. Well, it's been temporary long enough. Let's be proactive. If this thing does blow over end of the year in 2021, we're back to normal, well, that's great. But we might be helping somebody from suffering some real spiritual damage between now and the end of the year. Amen? Let's step up. Let's be what God has us to be. Amen? Amen. May God bless you.